17th coming up this time of year. You're dreaming of what's to come. Last week we talked about we can reflect on 2016 and we can dream ahead of 2017. And when it's rooted out of love, it's like wearing a whole different set of glasses instead of being rooted out of shame or guilt. And maybe you're here and you've already started dreaming and setting goals for 2017. And as you're reflecting on that, of like, oh, I wonder where I want to be in a year. Where do I want to grow? Like, where do I want to get healthier? Those are all really, really good things. But maybe in the back of your mind, there's things that kind of are obstacles to that. That there's a lot of hard things going on maybe in your life, in your community, in your job, in this world. Like, in the past year, really incredibly hard things. That terrorism, even just this morning, right, in Jerusalem or in Israel, there was another terrorist attack. That it's like every other day you get some, on international scene, some other people who are maliciously trying to create terror in this world. And when that happens, I don't know about you, but it also like makes me think about what happens when I go to the airport. What happens when I want to travel? There's the refugee crisis. We raised over $5,100 to send to Aleppo to help help with refugees. That's amazing. It's amazing. But think about this: 3,800 people got on boats, thinking this was the only chance they had to survive. 3,800 people died. Refugees died on the Mediterranean Sea. And that's just one geographical area, 3,800 people in 2016. That is unbelievable, where that was the best decision they had. There's the financially, maybe you're here like the stock market, you know, is about to hit the magic number, you know, 20,000, and you might be thinking like, I got to start saving some money, right? I want to retire at some point. You might carry that stress around with you. Maybe in your job, you are a manager, maybe you are the owner, maybe you're an employee, and you just carry stress with you, and you just don't know how to get over it. Maybe with your friendships, you're looking around, and you're like, I need friends that build me up. I need friends that just don't take from me. I need friends that like actually add value to my life. And as you dream of 2017, those obstacles and that pain, that anxiety, that stress, that fear, that's real. That's valid. Like, what you are feeling, you can feel what you feel. You can see it. You wake up every morning actually maybe feeling physical pain, or you feel that stress, or you feel that grief. You feel that horrible grief that's haunting you. What do you do with that? Because you want to plan, you want to dream, you want to grow, you want to thrive. We talk here about Jesus wants us to thrive in life, but you're like, but Chris, like, there's real valid pain going on. Well, you have a couple options. You can do the try harder, right? The try harder gospel, which is I'm going to pretend like the pain doesn't exist. I'm going to shove it down and I'm not going to look at it. I'm not going to deal with it. And I'm just going to work harder, right? That's like my favorite thing. That's like my go-to. You know what? I have all this pain. I'm just going to try harder. And how is that working for me, right? Exactly. And then it might be, well, then I'm going to shove it down so far. I'm not going to try harder. I'm just going to just succumb to the pain and saying, this is as good as it'll ever be. I'm going to tolerate pain. I'm going to tolerate my finances. I'm going to tolerate my health. I'm going to tolerate my friendships. And I'm just going to like slowly die, right? It's just good enough, and we'll just maintain. Or maybe you can see the pain for what it is. You can see the obstacles for what they are. And you can begin to deal with them. Like, how do you actually do that? Like, what keeps you up at night? Before your head hits the pillow. What's the thing that haunts you? That's the word. I just keep seeing this picture of like something that's just like standing over your bed, standing over your heart, standing over your head. And it just follows with you. How do we actually like accomplish those good and beautiful things in the face of real hard things? Like, who are the people like in your circle? You just feel like they get it. Like, who do you know that's just really healthy? And not just physically healthy like me, right? I'm a specimen. I know that, right? But like, who are the people, they just get it? Like, they hit hard things in their marriage. They hit hard things with their home. Like, they hit hard things with maybe their kids or their job. And it doesn't rock them to their core. They can feel the pain, but they can move on. Do you know people like that? It's like, what do they have that I don't have? How are they able to navigate this life at such a healthy way? You might call them wise. People who are wise. See, wisdom is an incredibly powerful thing. And for the next several weeks, surprise, we're talking about wisdom as it's on big boards flashing, right? We're talking about wisdom for the next several weeks because as we dream about 2017, like, how do we make informed decisions? How do we actually can see things for what they really, how they really are? And in the Bible, lucky for us, it talks a ton about wisdom. There's the wisdom literature, right? There's several books that have been categorized just as wisdom, of Proverbs, the Song of Songs, the Psalms, Ecclesiastes, even Job, right? There's these whole books that are about wisdom. And when you hear wisdom, you might think of just like people who are smart, right? I am so smart, S-M-R-T, right? It's a little different. You got that, I hope. All right, so the being wise is not just about being intellectual. It's actually a very just like shallow way of thinking about wisdom because that only impacts like one part, your brain, of what you can memorize, how you take a test, your ACT. And that's incredibly important. But we see in the Bible, wisdom leads to shalom. And the word shalom in the Bible isn't just about peace, isn't just like calm and going, oh, I'm happy for you, right? Peace or shalom is like this, it's like this big pool of peace, of grace, and beauty. And shalom is when you are swimming in it, where you're engulfed. Every square inch of your being is surrounded, is brushing up. You're moving in a life-giving beauty, joy, hope, grace, peace. Everywhere you go, you are feeling the effects of shalom. That's what wisdom brings. Wisdom is so much more than just our minds. See, wisdom, what it wants us to do, what it leads us to do is to be able, I've said it three times, but it's where you can actually see things for how they really are in this world. In the Bible, in Proverbs, it talks about how before like the world was even created, wisdom was there. And it's in Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8 says, "The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works. Before his deeds of old, I was formed long ages ago. At the very beginning when the world came to be, when there was no watery depths, I was given birth. When there was no springs of overflowing with water." What in Proverbs 8, what it's speaking of is that wisdom, there's this ancient wisdom. An ancient wisdom that it's actually like baked into all of creation. I love that. I heard an author say that wisdom was baked into creation. That everywhere you go, there's an opportunity to see things for how they really are. See, wisdom then, according to the Bible, is very different than a news cycle. We have news cycle. We have 24-hour news programs when it comes to sports, when it comes to racing, when it comes to financial markets, when it comes to world events, right? Like, and that's helpful. It's really good that, like, on your phone, if a breaking news happens, it can pop up and say, hey, this is happening right now. You're like, wow, that's amazing. And then you hear it, you think about it, it impacts you for a little bit, and then it falls to the floor and you move on. That's how our news cycles work. You have your 15 minutes of fame. And really, wisdom is the exact opposite. Instead of new information, new information, new information, new information, new information, wisdom is something that's always been true for all of time and will continue to be true for the rest of the history. See, wisdom is being able to see the truth that is baked in to your marriage. That is baked in to the earth, that's baked into your everyday rhythms. There is every single possible moment as an opportunity. Can you see truth? Can you experience truth? Can you taste the truth? And that's, at least for me, incredibly hopeful. Because in every situation, every rhythm, every opportunity, I can either see like this pain Let's talk about finances. We talk about a few. If you see you're struggling with finances and that stress is hitting you and it's waking you up in the middle of the night, if you play the game of like you go online to check your account, and you're like, oh, I hope it's a good one. All right, big bucks, no whammies. Right? Anyone else? Right? If you feel that fear, there's wisdom in that moment. You could see the lie for what it is. I'm never enough. I'm a loser. My family's going to fall apart. We're going to lose the house. It's never, ever, ever going to work. You could see the lie for what it is, or you could see the truth in that moment and let it brush up against every part of your being. That's wisdom. That's what we're going to be talking about for the next several weeks. Because, like, what would it look like to not just be informed people, not being able to identify what's, like, fake news and, like, real news? What would it look like to walk in a world, walk throughout your day being surrounded by wisdom, the things that have always been true? And the good thing that we have about God, that we have an incredibly good God, is that he wants good things for you. He doesn't hide that truth. He's not the dangling carrot kind of God. In Romans, it talks about how all of creation points back to the beauty and the majesty of a good, good king. Wisdom is at our fingertips. The other thing about wisdom in Proverbs that it talks about is it talks about wisdom being a woman, which is interesting. Because in this culture, it was a violent tribal culture that you would fight and you had to be strong. It was very masculine. And the men had the power, the men had the rights, and they'd go and conquer another tribe, and all their women, all their children, all their animals, all their land then belongs to them. But the authors talk about that wisdom is a woman. Why? It's because he's inviting us into that. Wisdom is not just a mental ascent. It's not just a great idea. He's saying it's something that has a heartbeat. It's something that is full of life. Something that can dance. Something that can sing. Something that is alive. Something that you can seek after. Something that you are longing for. Something that you can touch. Something that you can embrace, something that you can remember, that you have a memory, you have an experience of. When you think about wisdom being a woman, wisdom being a live human being, it changes it. To get to know a friend, to get to know a woman, to get to know a human, like you have to like be around them, you have to experience them, you have to take them in. It's so life-giving. But what kind of woman, right? This is interesting. I love this. What kind of woman is wisdom? Because just in Proverbs chapter 1, it talks about what kind of woman she is. Proverbs 1, verses 20 through 21. Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. So just in here, the way that wisdom, this kind of woman she is, the first one is that wisdom is making herself available to anyone who can hear. Wisdom is not just for the intellectual elite. It's not just for like the gold member status. It's not just for the people who are like her. It's not like you get the inner circle, us four no more. No, it's wisdom at the city gate as people are coming in who are foreigners, who are here to trade, who are there to experience a party, to celebrate, and the insiders and the outsiders are all moving together, and she's calling out to anyone who will hear. There is radical availability to wisdom, and the good news is that means you. That means you. You have access to this wisdom. And a lot of us, we rule ourselves out of why, we disqualify ourselves of why we cannot experience wisdom. Maybe it's I didn't have enough education. Maybe it's the things that you've done. Or maybe you just have hit such a hard, rough spot where you've, like I mentioned earlier, you just tolerate. And like, nope, this is as good as it ever is going to be. So what do I need wisdom for? I'll never be more than I am now. I'll only be less than I am right now. And that's absolutely a lie. Wisdom is radically available. And so the other part then is it says that she cries out. And this word means it is not just like cry as just loud. It's not cry as in sorrow. It's the word cry here is like elation with joy. That she sings on top of the wall. Wisdom sings on top of this wall so that you can experience joy. It's an invitation of like, there is this party, and you are invited, and it is yours. All you have to do is you can walk into the house, and you can dance, and you can sing, and you can celebrate, and you are invited. You can step into shalom. You can step in to this way of life. You can experience the best life possible, not just later, but even now. So it's available for everyone, and it's meant to live life to the fullest. So when Jesus says, I bring this up all the time because it's like a key verse for me, John 10:10, Jesus says, I have come to bring life and life to the fullest. Wisdom is pointing to that good and beautiful life. You can thrive. But here's the interesting thing about wisdom. Interesting about wisdom is that she'll mock you. Heard one author say that she is full of sass. It says in verse 1, 25, 26, it says, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. Well, that's really encouraging. All right, thanks, wisdom. All right, what she is saying here is if you disregard my advice, if you do, I'm good. I'll take it from here, wisdom. I'm pretty smart. I got a lot going on for me, right? What she's saying is when you disregard this ancient truth, when you disregard what has been always true, it's always been right before you, bad things are going to happen. You're going to experience some sort of turmoil emotionally inside because you were created for a purpose. You were created by the living, loving God, and he has good things for you. And when we align our lives, when we worship him, move our arrow towards the kingdom, that's wisdom of how to move towards him, how to move and become a Jesus-looking person. And when you do that, you experience that joy. You experience shalom. I love that if you decide to go your own way, happy for you. You can do it, but you're going to experience pain. See, wisdom is a woman. It's something to cherish. It's something to long after, something to know. I love that. She mocks me. So where I want to end is this. There's three tips on wisdom. As we move forward, we're going to talk about different aspects of wisdom. We're going to be talking about how we can grow in wisdom, what we do with our words, how that affects our life. There's wise ways of using our words. But here's three tips that kind of set us up for the rest of the series. The first one is this. How much wisdom do you want? How much you want? Because there is no limit to how much wisdom you can take in. See, and this is the difference between being having wisdom and just being smart. Because being smart means that you can perform to a certain set of rules, you can perform at a certain test, and you can get the right results. You can quantify it. And that means you use your head, your ACT, your IQ. But there's a limit to that, at least for me. I've learned there's a clear limit to my IQ, right? Like, if you lined, like, me, I went to North Central Bible College, right, down in Minneapolis, and I said, yes, I went to North Central University, right? And then over here is Joe Begadonitz, Jill Begadonitz, sorry, and she said, well, I went to Yale Law. And we had to say, all right, who do you think is smarter? Let me ask my dad about that one, right? And he's like, well, you know, Yale Law is pretty good, right? You'd say, well, no, probably. You know, Yale Law might be a little bit smarter. And why? Because we have these paths of what, like, intellect and where you can become smart. And that's very valid and it's very true. But even for Yale Law professor, there is a limit. There's a cap of how far you can go. You see, wisdom is different. Wisdom, in the ancient literature, is talking about how it affects every part of you. In Proverbs 2, it says that wisdom enters your heart and knowledge will come to your soul. That's beautiful. Then wisdom isn't just what I think about. Wisdom isn't just what I could put on paper. It's what I breathe in. It impacts my soul. And when it can affect every part of your being, what you dream about, what you crave, what you're planning to do the next day, of the words that come out of your mouth, of how you treat the earth, of how you treat your enemies, of how you actually love your physical neighbor right next door. Wisdom impacts all of it. And think about it this way. You ever notice that really, really smart people can still do incredibly stupid things? Right? It's like when I see on the news of this, like, you know, like powerful, brilliant people who have like done some amazing things, and they could take a picture of something, I'll leave it at that, right? And then send it to a stranger. Have you never heard of the internet? Do you think this is just like a private, like closed channel? Like the Cold War, these back channels, like, I'm sending you a picture, no one else will ever get it, right? How? Honestly, I think I'm like, you make very important decisions for a lot of people, and you thought, this is a great idea, right? Where people will compromise 5 minutes of pleasure for their entire business or their entire character. And if you can step back, you're just like, what? How did you think that was okay? That's the difference between just being smart and wisdom. Because people who are wise can see things for how they really are. They can see what's out in front of them and see the ancient truth and say, no, I'm going to do that. Like, it would probably make more sense if I went this direction. I could probably take a couple of shortcuts to get here, but like, what's right in front of me, I'm able to see that when I choose to love, I was just talking to talking to some of my friends that was at a basketball game yesterday. Fifth grade, mind you. Fifth grade basketball game. And they're playing, and there were some questionable calls happening, and I was sitting next to these people. I had no idea who they were. And I was convinced that they were already looking up this ref's address to go burn his house down, right? They're kicking, they're pounding the bleachers, they're doing like these things, trying to get the crowd pumped up. I'm like, settle down, right? Because in that moment, to be honest, if you know me, I'm way more like, those are like my people, right? Those are like, I'm gonna hang out with these people. But I see that and I'm like, huh. My heart is engaged in that. I want to retaliate, I want to push back, right? But there's this ancient wisdom that says, can you love differently? It's like, well, that doesn't make any sense. They should not yell at a ref, you know, who's like 19 years old, who, you know, he's waking up to help out some basketball tournament. And he was there all day long. What would loving that ref look like instead of just getting on and pushing back them? What would it look like to love them, this family? And I actually like pause. I'm like, oh, okay, this is maybe what wisdom might be. Where it's not just my head, but impacting my heart. Because I felt like I wanted to do something differently. And I paused and I said, all right, God, you have to come. Because I felt my heart going, like, I'm going to say something. I'm going to yell at them. And why? Why do we want to yell? Why do you want to like flip out at the person driving a car that's just driving like 3 miles slower than you? Right? Why does that bother us? Because we usually want to be right. We want to have the power. We want to win. And everything it talks about in the Gospels, it flips upside down to God saying, what would it look like to lower yourself to a humble state where you can actually serve the people above you in love? Because when you do that, then you're a Jesus-looking person. Because that's what Jesus did. He came to me, someone who was going to screw it up, someone who was a hot mess, someone who was going to yell at some family, yell at some ref, and Jesus said, you're mine. I love you. Maybe wisdom will lead us to not just think about people differently, but it will actually move to like our hands, it'll move to our words, it'll move to our feet, it'll move to like our checkbook. It will move to like the tables in our community where we just do things differently. How much wisdom do you really want? The second thing is this, I know. You ever heard your kids say this before? Ever heard like your niece, nephew say, I know. And you're like, hey, you know, you might want to think about doing this differently. No, I know. I'm 11, I know all things. Right? You ever realize your kids go from like picking their nose one day to suddenly being like the smartest people in the entire world, right? And you're like, well, you might want to slow down. No, I know. As they, bam, hit their head right on the board, right? Like, oh, I guess I should have known. Yeah. The Bible in Proverbs, actually, it has these broad categories, these stock categories, where there's the wise people and then there's the foolish people. There's the simple people and there's the prudent people. There is the good people and then there's the evil people. And they actually will compare the two. Wisdom, this woman, is painting these pictures of this is what it looks like to be wise and this is what it looks like to be foolish. Fools, right, are not just people who can't talk that good, right? It's not people who like just know, like I am self-aware, and some people you're gonna love me and some people are gonna hate me for this. My dad is an English teacher. My wife was an English teacher. I have no idea where commas go. It's like semicolon, comma, I just use all of them at once, all right? Apostrophe S, why not? Let's do it, right? I use like the dot, dot, dot like 17 times. You read my notes, it's all like dot, dot, dot. And Nikki's like, you could just put a space. That would work too, all right? See, wisdom is so much more of just knowing when to put commas and when to put semicolons. A fool is this. A fool is someone who says, who can look at the ancient truth, and they're like, no, I'm good enough. It's where they're not curious. It's where they're not hungry. It's where they're closed-minded. Where they just say, no, I already know the truth, and it's period, it's done. Like, the best way you can know if you're on the path of wisdom is when you're like, I wonder if that's really true. I wonder if there's something else I can learn. I wonder if, like, you could just be open-minded just to consider, what if there's more? Like, have you ever met someone who is just not willing to learn anymore? I was talking to Paul Tucker, who's this pastor who's been around for, like we meet a group of pastors, we meet to pray, and he, like, when he talks, everyone just gets quiet and listens, and he's a wonderful guy. And someone asked him something on prayer. He goes, you should have asked me 40 years ago because I had all the answers then, right? I'm like, it's so true. And if you try talking to someone who said, no, this is it. Everything is black and white. Everything is in its perfect little box. And you just say, well, what if it's a little different? What if there's like bigger truth? What if we elevated the conversation? What if we just got curious to why do you believe it's true? And you bring a little bit of a maybe correction, or maybe just you brush up a little bit against them. What do? They flip out. Who do you think you are? Don't you know who I am? I just saw a quote. Someone in some business that said the most feared words in this world is, we've always done it this way, right? Like, you have your sacred cows, you have your things, and this is how we always do it, it always has to be this way. Well, wisdom is saying, what if you could just be open-handed? Where everything that's in your life, all the things you know to be true, all the things you've always done, what if you could just say, okay, God, you're going to put in what you want and take out what you want. And I'm going to hold that intention. The beautiful thing is, that we have like God's word that never changes. We stand on this rock of a good God who wants good things for us. And we can go back to the Bible. We can go back to community. We can go back to hear God himself. And he's gonna give us the wisdom. But any time that you feel yourself closed off, any time where your ego wins, you've been there before? Man, I feel like I live there. Nikki's like, hey, what if we do it this way? No, I know what I'm doing. Let's go be important business guy, all right? I know how to do this. It's like, oh, why didn't I listen to you? I'm going to write a book. It's going to be called Move It Twice. Because the only way I learn is by experiencing pain and then like, I should have done that the first time, right? Like, foolish people aren't just lower IQ. Foolish people are people who are unwilling to learn. And my last one is this. And this is the most important one. That's why I saved it for the end. Proverbs 1:7. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. See, the word fear here, fearing the Lord, isn't that we're so afraid that we shake and we run away and it's like, oh, God's here, get out of town, hide, right? The word fear here is that you can, again, you can see things for how they really are. Like, have you ever seen something incredibly, incredibly big and it scared you? Or like you just paused. We were at the zoo. This was a couple years ago. We were at the Minnesota Zoo and we heard the lion begin to like roar. You know, you see animals at the zoo, they're always just like laying there like, yeah, thanks. Yeah, keep pounding the glass. I really love that. Awesome. My life's an all-time high. Keep it up, right? And the lion just all of a sudden just began to roar. And I didn't just hear it. I felt it in my chest. And we weren't like, hey, Mr. Lion, how you doing? Like we were a little bit away. And it paused me. I stopped. And I grabbed my kid's hand. I'm like, what's going to happen? That's the fear of the Lord. You see something magnificent. You can see it for what it is, that all the power, all of creation was through him. In the book of the Chronicles of Narnia, one of the kids, they're asking this question to the beavers, because clearly, you know, animals can talk in Narnia. We all know that, right? And I wrote down. And she asks, is Aslan, who is the lion, who's like the king, is he safe? And this is the quote. Safe, said Mrs. Beaver, said Mr. Beaver. Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he is good. No, he's not safe. He's a lion, but he's good. The fear of the Lord is when you can see something that is so incredibly massive. And when we see things that are massive, usually they're not safe. You see something that's good, it might be small. You see something that's big, it's not always safe. Here, God is incredibly good. Incredibly good. He's incredibly big and powerful. And that fear is this. What it looks like to fear God is that you have this holy fear of where you have this trembling of, I want all the things that God has for me. What the fear allows you to do, and I really like that word. It's not we always take it in a negative way, but here in the Bible, it's a life-giving way of saying, can you lay down your right? Can you lay down what you feel like you're entitled to? Can you lay down your ego? Can you lay down your rightness? Can you lay down all the things you feel like, no, this is how it has to be? Because a holy fear is saying, no, I'm going to say yes to you. I'm going to submit to you. I'm going to trust that maybe you have some idea what's going to lead me to shalom, what's going to lead me to a good and beautiful life. Because all of creation, all the beautiful things in your life have come through the kingdom of God. God has come through God. And the deep dreams you have, the deep wants that you have, that's from God. Wisdom is when we can lay it down. The way in the door to wisdom is by laying down, saying, God, you get to be God. I'm going to trust you. This ancient truth that's been there all along, I see it for what it is, and I'm going to say yes to that instead of yes to however I think it should be done. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to give us the opportunity to experience that. That maybe you're here, and you are experiencing pain. You're here, and even like we talk about ego. We never love talking about our ego, right? We like talking about someone else's ego. Look at that jerk. What an ego. And they're like, hey, you? They're like, no, not me. I'm humble. I'm great. I'm wonderful, right? But maybe there's something in you that you carried with you today. And maybe you brought it from this weekend. Maybe you brought it from this holiday season. Maybe you brought it with you from like when you were in junior high. And you fight it. You're like, no, I know I have this. I got this. But if you're honest with yourself, you're like, I don't. I might not be the smartest person in the room. I might not be the strongest person in the room. I might not have it all together. Here's the beautiful part. That's not a threat. Some of you need to hear that. Your, whatever you want to call it, your failure, your weakness, your pain, your doubt of, like, even your doubt of how good God is, or even if God exists, your doubt is not a threat to the good and beautiful life. It's actually where wisdom begins, because that's where you walk in saying, I don't know. And wisdom says, I call out for everyone who's willing to hear. Will you hear me? Let's stand, please. What I'd like to do is I'd like to pray. When we pray, Because not because it's a great way to transition to service so everyone can leave, right? We pray because we really honestly believe that God not will just do stuff, he wants to do good things in us. And prayer is a way of like aligning our words, our mind, our heart, our emotion, our bodies, aligning to say, God, just for a moment, we'd like to experience your reality. We'd like to experience your kingdom. We'd like to be swimming in wisdom. So my invitation is this. If you feel, I wrote these down. There's some things that I felt like God highlighted. You feel like you could use some wisdom. You feel like maybe you can like lay down. Like you don't know how to handle. You just don't want to carry the fear, the anxiety, and the stress. Or maybe it's with friends. Or maybe you are hungry, you are thirsty for wisdom with your kids. You feel like it's just out of control. Maybe like the behavior, or maybe the time is going so fast and you feel fear about them moving out. Or maybe it's the last two is your career or your finances. And there's a whole list of other things. If that's you, as I pray, I'm gonna just invite you just to take in what God has for you. You can receive God's wisdom even now. And he has something life-giving for you. If that's you, let's pray. Join with me. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Like God's living, felt presence, we say yes. And Jesus, we want to swim in that kind of life-giving peace. We want to swim in shalom. So will you come? And I pray that our ego, our tradition, what we believe to be true, or the pain, or what we tolerate, or what we just try harder, God, even like as we open our hands, will you put in something good? Will you put in something good? For my friends who are grieving, God, bring hope. For my friends who feel despair, will you come close to them? To my friends who just carry anxiety and stress, and they don't know how to handle it. They just say, this is how life is. That is not true. God, bring peace. To my friends who have questions about their kids, questions about their marriage, questions about how good you are, God, will you come and bring your confidence? Come and bring your faith, wisdom, come. And we say yes to you. We say yes, you get to be king. You get to be the boss. I thank you, God, that you are a good king. So as we dream of 2017, Jesus, give us just, let us sit at a table and eat wisdom for every meal. We eat with you. Amen. So we have a ministry team, and they're going to make their way up front. These are people who are for your dreams. They're for your life. They're for like the good things that God wants to do in you and through you. And sometimes you just need a buddy. Sometimes you just need someone who can cry with you. Sometimes you need someone to laugh with you. And sometimes you just need people to hear you and encourage you. And the way we do that is through praying for one another. And if there's something in your life you want wisdom on, something that you feel like you just need to experience some hope or some freedom, the people up here would love nothing more than to pray for you. We're going to worship for a little bit longer. Thank you for coming to the Cloquet Vineyard, and have a great rest of your Sunday.